So what are the parameters that are relevant now for the calculation of a bond in the V-market experiments? In fact, contrary to the stock options, the terminal payoff of a bond is trivial. It is simply normalized to unity, and therefore we don't need a parameter to describe this. There is numerical parameters. You have the time step and the number of mesh points, which have been discussed in the previous chapter. But you also have the time theta and the tune quad parameters, which correspond to techniques that will be used in the second part of this chapter when dealing with the finite elements. On the financial side, there is a number of parameters to describe now the evolution of these credit products. First, you have the time to maturity. The time to maturity is here represented by the runtime parameter in the applet, and for a value of 10, you'll have 10 years to the expiry of the bond. The volatility is, as you probably expect by now, the measure of the expected or the standard deviation of the expected interest rates. An additional parameter is the mean equilibrium rate, which is represented by the mean rate parameter, and in fact describes the target value towards which the forecast model tries to relax its spot rate to. So for a mean rate of 0.1, the spot rate in the forecast model will try to relax towards 10%. The market price of risk here is measured by the divid MPR parameter, so it's in fact the same as for the dividend yield in the case of stock option. It's simply to simplify the representation in the applet. So this divid MPR parameter measures the market price of risk with a value which should be between minus 1 and 1, depending on the investor appetite for taking investment risk. So if the investors have a lot of appetite for risk, they will have a positive value of that parameter. And if they're kind of negative, they don't want to take very much risk, then this parameter will become negative and will, in fact, add a negative drift into the interest rate. The drift parameter here in the applet measures a drift which is modeled with a harmonic function in order to reproduce economic cycles. So with a drift of 0.01, you will have a 1% annual drift in the spot rate. And now, depending on the number of cycles you want to reproduce, which is associated with the parameter user double, for a value of 1, you will reproduce 1 cycle over the entire runtime period. For a value of 2, you'll have 2 cycles, and so on. So this drift parameter can be used to reproduce economic cycles and match the evolution with a particular economy. So what is the interest rate forecast model that has been implemented in the VMarket applet? In fact, the excess return over the risk-free investment, which corresponds to the terms on the left, is described by the balance of 3 terms. The first is the long-term average equilibrium rate, which is the target rate towards which the rates, the spot rates, will evolve to if there is no external driving of the drifts. So if the left-hand side of the equation is put to zero and the other parameters are not used, the second and the third in the equation on the right hand side, in fact the equilibrium rate will be the target rate towards which the spot rate goes to. The second term measures the economic cycle imposed drift, and as I just mentioned, can be imposed and described here by a harmonic function, but in general could be any kind of cyclic function which you simply assume in order to forecast for a certain economy. The third term, finally, measures the appetite of investors to take risk using this market price of risk parameter, and will also contribute to a drift in the forecast of the spot rate. The V-market experiments that are now suggested target the understanding of different aspects of the credit market. The first series of experiments are dealing with a completely trivial case where the volatility and the drifts are all put to zero. Then it should become clear quite quickly to you that the discount function will simply be the standard discounting the inverse exponential of the rate times the time span. And the yield that corresponds to this discounting is simply constant, is given by the spot rate. The yield as a function of the spot rate is the spot rate itself. The term structure, the yield as a function of time, is a fixed value of the spot rate which you assumed. This is what comes out of the applet if you now try to identify all curves more precisely. A second set of experiments tries to describe what is the effect of volatility. And you'll see that in general, volatility reduces the curvature of the discount function. Now, if you have a market price of risk, which is multiplied by the volatility, you will either add a positive drift, meaning that the interest rates will, or the yield will be rising for a positive market price of risk, and the yield will be decreasing if that parameter is smaller than zero. A third set of experiments deals more precisely with the drifts which have their origin in three different terms. And here again, it is a good idea to play with these different drifts to try to develop your intuition. In general, these experiments will develop the intuition for the credit market in general and will allow you to calculate what should be the shape of a discount function for a given choice of parameters. And this is what is needed to prepare you for the inverse problem. Generally, you know what the discount function is from the current market, and you would like now to match the different drifts and the volatility and your knowledge of the economy in order to be able to predict what will be the future evolution of the interest rates based on the history. So play with these parameters and try to acquire this intuition that is needed for you to then forecast such an evolution of the spot rate, of the interest rates or the bond market.